Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
To begin, I would like to know why you came to this class. So we only get 2 minutes. Because of me.
You know.
Okay.
No pressure, Nicole.
We all love you.
It's 4 o'clock. I mean, it's the end of the day. Okay.
I love to travel.
Love to travel. Great. I remember you. It took me a while, but now I remember you. Okay, yes.
Because I don't like to drive far.
Because you don't like to drive far and you want to find out what's right next to you. Okay, Lindsay?
I do not take advantage of the fact that we live next to D.C. and Baltimore, all the great places.
Okay.
So
I do not take advantage of living close to Baltimore and D.C. and all the things that there are to do.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. We live a metro right away from it's the Smithsonian. I'm like, we do not explore here.
Okay, you live a stop away from the metro. Well, you live close enough.
We're in Greenville.
Okay.
So a short metro.
A short distance from the metro that you could just hop on and go downtown and not utilizing it to the point where you would like. Okay.
And I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum where I live in the middle of nowhere, and I want to figure out how to find what I haven't found yet.
Okay. You live in the middle of nowhere, and so you want to know what is there near where I am, because I'm not near all of the city things. In the back, all the way.
I help out with co-op field trips.
You help out with the co-op field trips, so you'd like to find out how you can perform in that role. Okay. In the green.
We move a lot, and so I'd really like to know how to get to know the resources faster than, a few years later realizing something's down the road.
Excellent. You travel a lot, and you would like to know...
We move.
I'm sorry. You move a lot, and so you'd like to know how to take advantage of what's right there sooner as opposed to later. Any other comments? Great. Okay, thank you for that input. I started this, what I called the Explore Baltimore series in 2020. And we all know what happened that year. My first goal was to get outside. And at that point, things were closed. So there was no let's go to the museum today. Let's go here. And I thought, what are we going to do? So I started out with my neighborhood. And then we went to our city. And then we went to another city. So I'm just going to share with you what I did. And we can talk about that and share with me any ideas that maybe you have or things that come to you or any questions along the way. We can do a question and answer at the end if time permits, but feel free to ask questions or make comments throughout. Number one, on foot. It was really important to me that we went walking. And when I say walking, I mean we just literally started with our neighborhood, walked out our front door, and explored our neighborhood. So there was no, come on kids, get in the car, drive, and then get to the place, and then get out. So I feel like this beginning is what really set us on the path. No pun intended. Come prepared. I gave my children a sheet, and it said, Explore Baltimore series, please bring the following. So they had, on here it doesn't say, but dress for the weather because we went rain or shine. If there was any challenging circumstances with the weather, yes, we postponed, but that did not deter us. So dress for the weather, they needed their backpack. I had a clipboard that had a sheet on it, pen, they packed a lunch, they had water. And my children had a device. They didn't have, not all of my children had phones, that I had a relay, and we'll talk about that in the safety section, but it was important for me to have a tracking device for them. I set up the expectations. So first, this was also an effort to help them gain some independence, but also I was trying to teach them some life skills, like how to be outside of our world, meaning our home, without me being right there with them. I didn't feel comfortable going into the city and be like, okay, go for it. So we started out in our neighborhood, a place where I felt comfortable letting them go out on their own without me. So first of all, they had to go in groups of two. They were never alone, and that was a rule. And within their group of two, they got to choose their destination, like where they were going to go that day in the neighborhood. They got to choose their mode of transportation. So I had a skateboard, I had a bike and scooter and sneakers. Those were the options that they had. And they needed to highlight the street on the map, which they received. So there was a map, and they needed to highlight the streets that they covered that day. And then when they highlighted the entire map within our neighborhood, they were done. This was done because I had a child that was like, how long do we have to do this? And I'm like, dude, just highlight all the streets. If you want to get it done today, go at it. So that gave him an idea of like how long this was going to take. But then he also realized he was in charge of how long it was going to take. So it could take weeks, months, or, you know, a couple days. We only did it once a week. And there's a slide for that too. They also had to take at least one photo with each other in it. So I needed one. I just need to see each child so they could take a separate photo or one together. And they had to stay within the boundaries, which means on this map and on the other maps I'll show you, there is clearly outlined in a dark line where they could be and where they couldn't be. So for this map, anything inside the blue lines, that's where they could go. And then their assignment was completed when they had highlighted all the streets in our neighborhood. Safety first. So I think of the worst possible outcome when it comes to my children. We have two dogs, and I like fret when they take the dogs on a walk, and I'm like, be careful. Don't talk to anyone that you don't know. If a car stops, do this. And so I'm giving them all these, you know, safety precautions. So this was very important to me. And my children are 12 to 18, so they're not like 6 and 7 and 3 and 4. But still, I just really wanted to make sure that they were safe. So the buddy system, they had to have another person with them. They could join up with another group of two if they wanted to. We have six. So this is why it's unique to our family, because I sent all six of my children out together. For those that had a device, there had to be a device within each group of two. So they either had this relay, which was a tracking device that I knew could see or could know where they were at any time, or a cell phone. They dressed in school attire. This was a little... Some days it was pajamas. I mean, I have a child that at that particular time, his school attire was a Christmas onesie, and that's what he wore out when he explored our neighborhood. And it's really funny now when we look back on those pictures. On other outings that we do, we have like a white polo and khakis, and depending on where we go, we dress in our school attire. We've gone out and adults have approached my children and asked, why aren't you in school? And my kids say, we are in school, we're homeschooled, and this is our activity for today. So when we're dressed in a school quote-unquote uniform, it helps other people identify that maybe they're legit and they're where they should be. We've also had lanyards. I've made lanyards for them, and it has our school name on it. It's, you know, just to be a little official. But that to me was a safety measure because I didn't want people approaching my children questioning them. We also had check-ins. So I would say you need to call me at 2 o'clock, or you need to be at this place at this time. Stranger danger, we talked about that. And to, they weren't allowed to have any earbuds in or anything like that, because I needed them to be aware of their surroundings, even within our neighborhood. They had to know what was going on around them at all times. Set the stage. So I would do a little bit of research and find out some fun facts. I found out some fun facts about our neighborhood, about the homes in the area, some of the things that they might see that they would come across. So the historical background. I would point out, in conversation, some landmarks. There was a Boy Scout troop that had refurbished a park in our neighborhood, so I pointed that out. I said, look for the plaque and read it, and my boys were in the scouting program at the time, so it meant something to them. And then also, of course, giving them the map so they could physically see where things were. I wanted to give them these tools and prep them before sending them out to explore. The calendar. So I planned this as part of like our curriculum. So it was every Monday. We started in January, and there were some Mondays that we missed because we were traveling or had some other commitment, but they always knew Monday was the Explore Baltimore series day and that they were going to be away from home on that day. We made it at the same time so that they could plan the rest of their day or at least know what to expect. And the thing that was the variable was the location. When we did our neighborhood, that location depended upon them. But then when we went out to Baltimore and when we went to the other city, I had made the decision as to where we were going for that day. Some of the outcomes. I wasn't intending for this, but this is what I found. My children gained an appreciation for where we lived. They gained an awareness for the things that were around them and the people that they came in contact with, whether they engaged in a conversation or just observing. They learned how to make decisions between the two. I observed where they're walking out the door. I don't want to go down that street. I want to go down this street. Well, we're close to this street. And I could hear them talking through it as they're walking out the door. And then when they came back, I would hear more of their experience as to, yeah, well, you know, she said to go down this street and it was a dead end and I said to go this way. And so it helped them to have a place, a safe space where they could work things out without me being there. Teamwork, problem solving, responsibility. Because we had these rules, they needed to follow those rules. And there were a couple times when I would get a report as to, I told them not that that was outside of the boundaries and not to go there and things like that. So they learned to be responsible. In the first couple runs, we did have to remind them of what the rules were. And again, it was in our neighborhood, so if they did go outside of the boundaries, it wasn't like danger, danger, but it gave us the opportunity to kind of practice in what I would consider a safe space. Reliability. When I said we needed to meet at a certain location at a certain time, they needed to be there, and there were no exceptions. I'm the one that'd be like, they're not here. Something has happened. And so they knew that about me, and I'd let them know, if you're not here at this time, I'm going to think that something went wrong. And so there were kids that who had phones that were like, Mom, we're on our way. We're just on this street, that street. We're coming down. And I was like, okay, we're good. So again, them learning this responsibility that someone cares about you and is going to be worried if you're not at the place that you need to be at a certain time, and to let someone know. Accountability and self-confidence. When starting from in our neighborhood, I could see that they weren't afraid to go outside, but it also wasn't a blind a false sense of security. They were learning that there were dangers, but they had some sense of like, well, this is what I would do if or when, and they felt confident in going out on their own exploring and not having me there. Some discussion points. So again, this wasn't something that I had intended, but is what came out of it. We would talk about architecture with the homes in the neighborhood. So then I'm like, this is great for art. Great. Nature, we would see as the season came for spring, things were blooming. And so they would talk about the flowers, the trees, all sorts of things that they were surrounded by. Traffic laws, as far as crossing the streets and one-way streets. We have a lot of one-way streets in our neighborhood even. Bike lanes, walking paths, service. This one they didn't like so much, but we did pick up trash, and there was a lot of trash that they were now aware of, and they did not appreciate having to pick up that trash that other people had put there. And now when we drive and we're in our vehicle and we see people throw their trash out the window or they see the trash along the road, they feel something. Navigation, learning north, south, east, west, they're getting their directions down. That has definitely improved. Animals, we saw in our neighborhood, fox, deer, cats and dogs, birds. Labor, they would come in contact with the men and women that were picking up trash or recycles. We saw Amazon trucks, UPS, the mail people, DoorDash, lots of people working and performing some sort of labor. It was a great source of exercise. They got their steps in or they got biking. And where we live, it's not flat, it's hilly. So they were like, man, did you guys go up that one hill? And then the kids would all come together because they'd be in different locations. And then when they would come together, they would swap stories of where they had been for the day. And then LITM, live in the moment. There were some days where I just sent them out with no assignment. And it just let them be out there. And where we live, I feel like my kids don't get enough of just being kids without an agenda, just to be out and explore the land. And my dad tells me lots of stories when he grew up that they would leave in the morning and they would travel across town and all the things they would get into. And then they'd come home in the evening. And I thought, that's what a childhood is all about. And so in a very small way, this was a portion of that, of just letting them go out. So our follow-up would usually be during family discussions, mostly over dinner. We did incorporate it into our family home evening. We would put together sometimes a slideshow because I'd have them have a picture. And so we would put that together and then we'd watch it. They would take a lot more pictures than just the two or one that I required. So that was fun to see what they captured. But our most favorite is we would put a Kahoot together. And so it was fun to have a picture and they'd ask questions. So they would, each team, three teams of two, would put together like five questions for the Kahoot. And then they try to stump their siblings or me with what they found. And then a mini movie. I have two kids in particular that were into stop motion, and so they did a where they'd walk and take pictures in one area, and that was fun. Okay, so I'm now going to talk about the three individual locations that we went to and some of the specific activities I would have them do. So Mount Washington is our neighborhood. Baltimore is our city that we live in, so it's just a larger part of our neighborhood. And then Columbus, Ohio. Our neighborhood goal, as I mentioned, was to highlight all the streets on the map. And so I would give them sort of a scavenger hunt, for example, and I changed some of the addresses and things. But who lives at 432 Pine Street? It happened to be one of the boys on my son's soccer team. He knew this boy, but he didn't know where he lived. And he was like, yeah, he just lives right on the back street. I'm like, yes, he does. Describe three homes in the Victorian style on Spruce Street. And then we'd come home and have a discussion about that. Which fence companies did you find on Briar Street? So we were talking about building a fence, and we were deciding whether we should do it or have another company do it. So then when they got to see, like, yeah, that company, they did a really good job. That company, I mean, it was okay. So they got to observe and really think about what they would want for their own home and if they would employ a company to do that. 458 Elm has what type of tree in their front yard? 876 Oakwood has what company remodeling their home? And your choice. So oftentimes I would ask them what they would want to bring back. Big city goal, complete as many activities before 12 o'clock. So on this day, when we would go to Baltimore, we would leave in the morning. They'd go out explore, we would meet at 12 o'clock for lunch, and then depending on their mood, we would go back out again or we would just come home. Some days it was just, they were done. And I wanted it to be a positive experience, so you've just got to know when to call it quits. So for Baltimore, I would ask questions like for this scavenger hunt, Domino Sugar Factory, what street is it on? The Locust Point Fire Station, what station number is it? There would be, for example, the Baltimore Waterfront Promenade. Take a walk on it. The Enoch Pratt Library and the Canton Branch, I had them go inside the library and they had to find a particular book or section, and then there would be something specific that they needed to like write down or find out from that thing, so I would know for sure that they actually did it. First and Franklin Presbyterian Church had these beautiful stained glass windows, and so I asked them what scenes from the Bible did it depict. The Walters Art Museum is free, so they could walk in, sent them to an exhibit, they had to observe something, and then walk out. And then text challenge. In Locust Point, I had 5 different locations, and when they got to that location, they were to send a text and say, Mom, we're at Locust Point, or whatever the specific place was, and then I would text them the challenge. So, for example, one was at a park that was in Locust Point, and I said, okay, you're at the park, face south, and then to your right is a street of row homes, and it just happened to be that that particular street had 17 flags, United States flags, flying on each house, like 17 homes. And so I asked them how many flags are flying on that particular street. And so then they had to go down and count the flags. So for me, I did go out ahead of them and seek out these things so that I could create these sort of challenges for them. My point was I wanted them to take notice of things. They're not, if I hadn't asked them to do specific things, they wouldn't care about the 17 flags or what street the Domino Sugar Factory is on or what number the firehouse is. But these are details that I just am trying to get them to take notice of, whether it's that or something else, just to get in the habit. And these are just some of the places that we visited in Baltimore. Another reason why we did this is because we have friends that come and visit from out of town, and so their first question is like, what should we do? Where should we go? And I found myself like, well, I mean, we can go to the aquarium. And I would name these places that are like the touristy places to go. But what my children and I found out is that there's so much more to what the touristy places have to offer. And when we got out on foot and went to these neighborhoods and places, we found really cute bakeries and a really nice cafe or a park that had some really fun slides. And so my children would say things like, oh, you know who would really love this? Or, oh, we should bring this family to this place. And so things just came alive for us, and we saw more of what the city had to offer. Okay, so then we went to Columbus, Ohio, and the goal here was to take the city by storm. And the morning I had reserved for our school time, so they had their regular things that they needed to do for our school, and then after lunch, we went out, and we didn't come home until after dinner. And these are just a few of the places that we went to. Again, this was an opportunity to explore maybe some of the touristy places, but also just to kind of get off the beaten path. So we did, we went to the Columbus Temple. There was a Dublin Ferry Trail, which is in Dublin. You go to, I guess it's the Chamber of Commerce, and they give you a list of all the merchants in the town. And you go into each merchant, and they have this little tiny door that's like a little leprechaun door. And you get a stamp for each one, and you visit all these places. It's really cool. Then you turn it in, and they mail you a T-shirt. And so my friend told me about that, and I'm like, for sure, we're going to do that. And so we got to visit all these little places in Dublin, and we got a T-shirt for it. And it, again, we were on foot. We walked in to all the different establishments. There was a suspension bridge there, and it just led us from one thing to the next. So that one I didn't really have to do any work on. The Book Loft, I love books, and that is my absolute favorite place. Lots and lots of books. So I won't go through all of them, but it is a mixture of parks, churches, historical sites, Hopewell Earthen Mounds. That is actually a drive out, but still a place that we were able to visit and learn about. So all of these opportunities served a purpose. My daughter was also wanting to know, like, what college she wanted to go to. So we went to Ohio State, and she got to, you know, we just walked around on the campus, and she's got a feel for it. We didn't do an official campus tour or anything. So it doesn't have to be official all the time. I think when it's not official, it feels a lot more authentic. All right. So, we have quite a bit of time. I think that most importantly, whatever the case may be, whether it's your family, a co-op, you live near or far, it's about your perspective. I didn't want to forget, and I wrote it down on this little piece of paper here. It's all about your perspective. So let me give you an example. We used to live in northern Maine, and it's fairly remote, which means in our town we had Walmart and Lowe's. And if you needed anything else, like a Costco or Target, you had to drive 3 hours to get to it. I loved living there, and we moved to Baltimore, and I have Target, like four Targets within 15 minutes. There's two Costcos, one on this end, one on that end. I have a lot of things right at my fingertips. And my friends in northern Maine are like, there's nothing to do here. And my children and I at times have said, while living here in Baltimore, there's nothing to do here. And that all comes back to our perspective. There's just as much to do in northern Maine as there is in Baltimore, Maryland, or Columbus, Ohio. And also to illustrate, we went to Columbus, Ohio, and while we were on this ferry trail, we went into Kilwins, And the merchant there was like, so, you know, where are you guys from? We're like, we're from Baltimore. And he's like, well, what are you doing here? I'm like, we're on vacation. He's like, in Ohio? It's like, yes, it is great. And so it was, you know, it's like this unlikely thing, like, why would you come to Ohio? And because there's things here. And so we often feel like we've got to go somewhere in order to get the experience that we're looking for. But if you have the perspective, you can create what you're looking for right where you are. So you got to know what you're looking for. And if you don't know, then I would start there. All right, so let's ask some questions and share some comments as far as exploring goes. And I'm just wondering, well, first of all, any questions that you have? Yes, Lindsay.
Okay, so you know my husband.
Yes.
How would I get around? My husband's a police officer, and he could put us in a bubble and be perfectly content with me being in a bubble with my family. How do I get around, like, the fact that there are bad people outside of my front door? Because that's what he thinks.
Yeah, and he's true. He's right. Correct. So, one thing that I think in 2020 for me, this is why this meant so much, is that I felt like I was living in a bubble and I was suffocating. And I realized I can't live in a bubble. Like, I've got to get out there. And there are going to be dangers. And so I started talking to my children about, it's not if this happens, it's when this happens. And to try to prepare them and give them tools appropriate for their ages to help them navigate, like, what to do in situations when they encounter bad people. And the thing that my kids would say to me before we did this, because they would always want to go off, you know, without me, and I'm like, no, you got to stay close. Like, we'd be at the National Zoo, I'm like, nope, you stay close, see where I can see you. And they're like, I'm fine, my oldest, I'm fine. Like, I don't worry about you. I worry about the other people that are here. That's what I'm afraid of. So for me, I guess starting with my neighborhood is what helped me to feel more comfortable, because I really did have to ease into it, and just kind of, it's a leap of faith. I just had to trust that I wasn't putting them in severe danger. I mean, I guess we always put them in danger anytime we let them out of our care, but yeah, I just had to do it in a way that felt comfortable enough that give them a little bit of space. And back.
We were military, so we've moved, I'm sure other militaries in here, but you have a debriefing any place that you go. So, like, you need to know what your cautions are of the area. So, like, for instance, when we lived in England, if someone broke into your home, you had to let them rob you. Like, you couldn't touch them. So our caution was that we had to get into a locked room, and that's what we did. So any place you go, you need to find out what maybe could happen, and you need to play out that scenario with your kids and explain to them how to get out of that situation or whatever. Because it's going to happen, but you should debrief your family.
Yes. You should. My husband is in the military, and so we have our home sometimes feels a little militant. and we've had this question asked us many times. So we live in a city that could be high profiled if you are a black male. And so we've had multiple discussions with our children about, if you get stopped by an authority, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to conduct yourself, because they don't know who you are. And even within our neighborhood, we live in a good neighborhood. However, people travel through our neighborhood that look questionable. I can't say are questionable because I don't know these individuals. But I do know that the thing that they have in common and that my children have in common is that we have the same color skin. And there are people in our neighborhood that would question my children and mistake them for someone else that may be causing trouble because they don't know who my children are. And so that's just a part of our life. And I think that, again, I can't have them living in a bubble. And I don't want them to be afraid. I don't want them to be angry. And so I have to teach them, not about if, but when. So recently we did have an incident where my daughter was stopped by an authority, and she was in a uniform, so she looked like she was legitimately where she should be, and the lights went on and the siren went off, and she didn't know if she should run or stop. Because where we were at the time, she was by herself. We were just a few feet away or yards away, but we were around the corner. And she didn't know if those lights and siren were for her or for someone else nearby. And if it was for someone else nearby, then definitely run. But if it was for her, definitely stop. And so I think another lesson is that she's had some practice of being out on her own, and we've tried to teach to listen to the Spirit, and I definitely think that the Spirit spoke to her at that time and said, just be still and stay where you are. And it was fine. No one was hurt. However, it could have been an incident. And so we live in a world where this exists. On another note, on one of our outings in Baltimore City, within the boundaries that I had set, two of my boys walked past the metro station, which was a very lively place at that time of day. And so they were walking, and they got a little bit, they got close enough that they realized, we need to turn around, to which they did and headed back the other way. But it was just enough for them to be like, we're good. Like, we don't need to continue down this road. And so in our family discussion, we talked about that. It actually came into a gospel discussion of how, you know, in life, you will have that. You'll be walking or on your way, figuratively, somewhere, and you just get a feeling like, no, we're good. Like, we need to turn around and go the other way. And so this opportunity of taking explore our neighborhood and city has come into a lot of gospel and life lessons. Right back here.
I think that's so interesting what you're saying, because a lot of times when we're making decisions, right, we're weighing like cost versus benefit. And I was thinking as you were talking, like, how cool is that? Because, like, the circumstances you're talking about, when our kids can be out in these other places, they can meet people who are different than them. And they can realize that we're all the same people. We're all children of God, right? That goes back to those gospel lessons. But then have, like, love and compassion for so many more people than they already have, and learn to talk to so many more people than they already do. And it just, maybe not as much a question, sorry.
You're fine.
As a comment that, like, the Spirit speaks to us through that still small voice, right? I've been uncomfortable in situations, but it's more uncomfortable because I'm pushing out of a boundary that I'm not used to. And that can be a beautiful thing, but when we're staying close to the Spirit, we can know when it's a dangerous thing, right? So it's such a good idea. I love that idea.
Thank you. Love and compassion, having love and compassion for others and being able to identify that we're all children of God. I definitely agree. Yes.
Sorry to, like, switch gears, but what did, like, your prep work look like to mm-hmm. prepare these activities? And, like, when did you have time to do that? Because, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I had this big picture that this is what I wanted to do. So as I'm going out to run errands and things, sometimes I would just take a different road in my neighborhood. So I was driving through these different places, or when I went on my walks, I walked down different streets. So I tried to cover all the streets in my neighborhood myself so that I would know, be familiar myself. I didn't want to send my kids somewhere that I hadn't been. When it came to Explore Baltimore, I had, at that time, had incorporated some me time, and on my me time, I was going out and scoping out these areas that I was going to go to. So I had to fit it into what I was already doing because I didn't have any extra time to create for putting this together. And I didn't get to scour everything thoroughly, but some places more than others. Yes.
So once you move beyond your own neighborhood and you're taking the kids out to explore the city, where are you? Do you stay with the younger group or do you find a bookstore or bakery to hang out?
I am on the street myself. I am not sitting anywhere. And I just the way the dynamic works in our family, I have a big kid with a little kid. So my oldest, it's 18, was with my youngest, that's 12. I have two 17-year-old boys, so my 17-year-old was with a 15-year-old, and my other 17-year-old was with a 14-year-old. So my kids were a little bit older, but I also made the areas, well, relatively small. They're really not. But it was not uncommon for us to cross paths as we're just out exploring. And I would often see or pass my kids. Plus, I have on my phone, I can track them and I know where they are. So I just made sure that I was close enough. And I did kind of tend to be closer to one group other than another, like with my youngest son. We just played it by ear, but I made sure I was on the ground out walking myself with them. Yes?
With Columbus, had you previewed all those places, or was that more of like did you gather together more?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up because I didn't mention that. So Columbus was different. We stayed together because I had not been there before the places we went to. Which was great because I don't think that my kids wanted to be like without me. So it just worked out good that we could all stay together. And honestly, we're used to being together. This was actually outside of their comfort zone at first to be out without mom or, you know, with the whole clan, all of us together. So when we went in outer neighborhood, that was kind of, you know, fun, like, oh, freedom. And then when we got to Baltimore, they were very cautious about that's it. Like we're just gonna go. I'm like, yeah, just go. And of course they had an agenda. So there were things, places that they needed to go to and see. So I also didn't want them to, just kind of being around. I mean, they were on a mission. So you could tell from other people watching them that they were purposeful or had a place to be. But when we were in Columbus, we were together. Yes.
Sorry, another question for you. Thinking about, like, you told us in Maine, you're kind of in a secluded area,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some of us live in kind of some areas like that. How would you adapt this kind of thing for more of that type of an environment?
Thank you. So I love the outdoors. My children don't love the outdoors as much, but they love the outdoors because I love the outdoors. So I found, in northern Maine, I have found all the trails that I could possibly find that's listed. And then while exploring those, we would come upon other places. It also helped that I had a friend who also loved to explore. So the two of us together, she'd bring her kids, I brought my kids, we covered a lot of land. And I think also this is where if you are comfortable with being in the outdoors, meaning you're not going to go out and get lost and, you know, some search team's going to have to come and find you. There are plenty of places outdoors. I mean, I honestly, there are more places than I have time to visit. So again, you've got to know what you're looking for, what your purpose is, and if it's to get out and be out, we did a whole series of waterfalls. We did lakes and streams. We did nature centers. So I like themes, and so we would stick with a theme and visit all of those places. We did playgrounds. So playgrounds that my kids had been to before, they're like, really? We're going to this playground? I'm like, yep, we are. But because there was a mission and there was something specific that we had to do there, I gave them an obstacle course while we were at the playground. I mean, you just get creative. But you will find what you're looking for, is what I'm trying to say. So if you're looking for something to do where you are, you'll find it. If you think like there's really nothing much to do, then there's not much for you to do then. Something else I'll mention is my kids ask, when are we going to do the rest of the neighborhoods in Baltimore? They want to get out. They want to see more of the city. They want to explore more. And that didn't exist before. And so they also take notice of a lot of things. So even as we're driving through the city, they'll be like, oh, we should go in there. Or they'll even ask, Mom, can we stop right now? Can we go into that place? And I love that. And I want them to be curious about the city that we live in, and also to respect the city that we live in. I feel that for an example, when we had to pick up trash, they own it. It's theirs. And when they have to maintain it or have to do something that they would not normally do, they do not enjoy picking up someone else's trash, but they appreciate it a lot more. So when we are out exploring, when we see trash, we pick it up. Yes, in the back.
I love learning about local history, and did you do much to incorporate that aspect of it, like learning the local history?
Yes, we did. So, for example, there's a Pulaski Highway is a well-known highway in Baltimore, and when we went to Patterson Park, there is a statue of what is his name? General Casimir Pulaski. And so I had an assignment for them that they had to find the monument, and then they had to find out who he was. Like, why would we erect a monument for him? What did he do? And so that was one example. There was another example in Harbor East. There's a monument erected for the Katyn massacre. I might be pronouncing that wrong, but from classical conversations, we have learned about that. And I'm like, there's a monument in Baltimore City for that? Like, I had no idea. So, because of things that we've already done, we would come across these historical figures or things that were put in place to remember these people or these moments in time that I didn't anticipate. But I'm like, oh, look, this is here. Do you remember this? Do you remember when we talked about this? And so it kind of pulled it in that respect. But I love history. And so any opportunity that I get to teach my children about something that happened years past, and I think is important for them to learn, but also to know that there's something here in our city that people felt passionate about and thought was important to remember, then we should learn about that. Yes?
I was just remembering this, like, walking scavenger hunt thing that I've done a few times with my family that's, like, online. You just pay to get all these scavenger hunt clues and things. It's called Puzzling Adventures, just as an option for something different.
Puzzling Adventures.
You don't have to, like, come up with all the questions and things yourself. You can just buy it already made.
Depending on like where I was with my time, let's see. I have one here that just has a list of things in the park, and I just got it off online. Like, I actually took the map and I looked at all the things that was listed, and I just said, check them off, like get to as many as you can. And this is a park where people are playing tennis and walking, and there's a lot of activity there. So we were pretty contained to this one area. This was Druid Hill Park. So we learned that the mayors in Baltimore City each have a pavilion named after them in Druid Hill Park. So anyway, they're not all of them because there's a lot, but some of them. So you just kind of recognize these names. These names of streets and places that we say and see all the time, and you don't realize that these are actually people. And that's why that name is here. So that was interesting. Yes?
Can
Can you go back to the tracking device that you're using for kids who don't have a phone?
Okay, so at the time it was the Relay, and I was going to bring it, but I'm pretty sure it's still in existence, but it was just this square device. It had a button in the middle, and basically it was a tracking device, so I could go on my phone, and there's an app for it, so that I could see exactly where my children were. It also served as a walkie-talkie, so they could talk to each other, and I could talk to them. Yes.
We also use Gab watches.
Gab watches.
So, and you can, they can have some, like, there's like 20 set text messages that they can send you. You can text message them, they can voice text you, or you can call on it. And it lets you track them. And you can actually set boundaries. So, like, I can set a boundary on my street, and if he leaves that, it alerts my phone. And I can set boundaries, you know, if I drop him off at a friend's house, I can set a boundary, and it'll alert me if he leaves. It's another one.
Great, thank you. Well, our time is up. Thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate your participation, your comments, and your questions. I feel that this is a community, and so I learn from you. You may learn from me, but I think that the more that we share, the better off that we'll be. So thank you.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.